Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's Christmas Eve, I know that. You're getting your last-minute shopping in. We just finished one show out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Dr. Greg Roscoe had the Doc Talk podcast. Marianne Costello, Marilyn Morales were the guests. That show went through the roof. We're getting ready to go to another show going through the roof. It's the Sports Talk Saturdays. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in L.A., sidekick, brother, and a mentor in Oakland, Bruce Kessinger. Somewhere along the roads of the Midwest, treacherous travel, is Scott Morgenroth. But as we get this show going, 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. Hour. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Bruce, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, we got a lot to talk about.
Indeed. excuse me. I'm doing okay. Thank you. And I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. So where are we going to go today, Mark?
Well, let's start with the Major League Baseball frenzy. Started in your backyard where Carlos Correa basically jacked the Padres, and then he went to San Francisco, figured, okay, maybe I'll entertain the Giants now that the Padres got Bogarts. And then all of a sudden we find out the Giants want him to take a physical. He said, to hell with that, and the Mets signed him. So with this whole thing, he basically lost 1 year and $35 million by not staying in your backyard. Any thoughts?
Well, the thoughts are this. First off, this is one where either management laid the greatest egg they've laid here so far. You know, I do have a theory. They both worked for the Dodgers before they came here. They could be saboteurs. the deal here was he took the physical. They are not disclosing what they found, and they declined to – they were going to hold a press conference maybe about three hours after the supposed deal was done, and then it was done, and he was off to New York. As we know, his agent is Scott Boras. They have not said what the issue was as far as his physical was concerned, but there was a declining in signing it. It hasn't set well with the local press here, with the exception of one columnist. I'm kind of like, wow, you didn't discover whatever problem Carlos Correa had until the last second. And only one columnist is being semi-supportive of management here, which of course, and it's the obvious, is what if he does have a problem and 2 years into that gigantic contract, he's out, you know, he's on the disabled list. So I'm going to go with the fact that the Giants management has been very lame, in how they've handled things lately. The team was extremely boring last year. There were a lot of errors. They needed a big splash. I'm not looking at any of the guys that they have signed as really, you know, making some kind of impact. Carlos Rodon went to the New York Yankees, and that is that. I'm everybody's puzzled. It's just like this was like here he is there now he's gone. You can come back at me. What do you think about it, Mark?
Well, I think that the Giants might have known something on his medical condition, and they were very hesitant. And I really haven't seen something like this where a guy changes his mind or does something like this since Terry Donahue was rumored to be the Atlanta Falcons coach when he was entertaining UCLA. And they had two press conferences, one for him to announce he was getting the Falcon job, and the other one announced he was coming back and, you know, staying at UCLA. So I think this gives a bad taste now. And Correa has, I don't want to say a troubled past, but from what I've seen from the Houston scandal that's rocked the baseball world to go into 1 year in Minnesota, and then talking about, you know, going here and there, and then the Giants give him the money, the $360 million or whatever it was for 13 years, and somebody got cool feet there, and I don't know if it was the Giants, you know, thinking, okay, maybe we need to lower this, and he didn't want to really lower it other than 1 year and $35 million. The Mets, I don't know if they're the most stupid organization in baseball or they're the dumbest with a lot of money, but I can't see where this guy's going to fit in New York. Granted, he's going to have to try a new position at third base, but what are the Mets doing, man? The Phillies have already loaded up. The Braves, you've got the Cardinals, the Padres. I mean, where does this sit with the Mets? And you know, they're spending money. They've committed $800 million to six free agents. And you got the Dodgers on the other hand that have just signed guys like 32-year-old Noah Syndergaard and 35-year-old J.D. Martinez to basically say, okay, we've got something here.
Well, I mean, I wish the Dodgers luck with that, but I don't think it's going to impact them. I'm looking at San Diego all the way in this. And yeah, and the Mets are throwing money around. It's been obvious that he's wanted to spend money, and he obviously to compete with the Phillies, he's doing it. The Giants had the money. The Giants have plenty of room in their salary situation to sign Correa. I'm going to just go with the benefit of the doubt and say whatever they saw there must have been quite startling, because to do that. And after you've hyped, you know, gotten your fans all hyped up about this, and then, you know, pulled the rug out from under, well, maybe Carlos Correa pulled the rug out from under us. I don't know. It's just plain weird. It doesn't make management look good. And, you know, when you got Bochy going to Texas, you watch Bochy, you see if he does well. They got DeGrom. There's going to be a lot of looking at the recent past, I think, versus, you know, the present regime. And, of course, they have the 107-win season that year, which was one of those guys. This was a surprise. But it was good years by their elder players. It had a lot to do with it. Do those guys still have it in them? I don't know. I hope so. I've enjoyed watching Belt and Crawford play forever. And it's good to see that Crawford's going to be back in his, how should we say, rightful position where he's been the whole time he's been a Giant. But this just comes off as truly, truly weird on both the Mets and the Giants side. I mean, it's wow. I mean, a lot of money. This is somebody who must be desperate over there in New York to get something going on. Well, I guess everybody is in a way. But I consider it the Giants now. It's a middle of the road team. It's San Diego. It's the Dodgers ahead of us. Although the Dodgers certainly won't be as good as they normally have been. And the pitching that the Giants have signed, especially after you lost Rodon, I don't consider – I mean, they're going to get more innings, but they're not going to overwhelm people. Any other free agent signings that you've noticed that pique your interest?
Well, I think the Cardinals picking up William Contreras. The Cubs have gone out there, got Dansby Swanson, Cody Bellinger, Jameson Taillon. And let's look at the Angels. I mean – you know, they've gone out, got Hunter Renfro, Gino Ursula, Brandon Drury, and Tyler Anderson. Let's start with the Dodgers here. What the hell are they thinking? And you know, I have one thing in common with Stephen A. Smith that can't stand the Cowboys. I can't stand the Dodgers. But here's the second biggest market in baseball, and this team is just sitting here doing absolutely nothing. They draw 4 million fans through their turnstiles, and yet they're going to put a Triple-A team on the field here. Other than three guys that can hit, and Betts, Freeman, and Will Smith, they have no pitching other than the two guys at the center of that order, and Urias and Kershaw. What are the Dodgers thinking? And are they pulling the wool over everybody in Los Angeles? Because I don't want to hear where we're restocking and we're retooling and we're looking at things from a different angle. Dude, this is the second biggest market and you're not spending cash.
Well, let's look at this interesting and possibly bizarre sort of wild card. And I may not have the answer to this, but of course, Trevor Bauer is now eligible to play. I do believe he's probably still under contract to the Dodgers.
Yep, 2 weeks they got to make a decision.
Right. Now, I mean, this is very similar to the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland. Is this one where you bring him back and, you know, all is forgiven if they win? That would be the wild card to me as far as the pitching is concerned. If they decided to pick Bauer back up, which I think they might do. If sports organizations are taking on guys like Deshaun Watson and willing to pay them that kind of money, and they feel they need him to win along with Kershaw and Syndergaard, who were, you know, getting up there and certainly some are injury prone. I can see that's the wild card there. That Bauer is going to be back there pitching with the Dodgers. I could see that happening because that seems to be to me the only logical thing to be banking on with that team.
Well, they're going to do something, but if they don't sign him, they're kind of looking at him like, you know, like, do we really want to commit to the money? He hasn't pitched in over a year.
True, but I think the thing is I think he is still under contract to them. They obviously didn't get paid last year when it was MLB that suspended him, but technically I think the Dodgers still own the rights to him. So they could say, hey, Trevor, come on back. We need you. That's what I think could possibly happen. Another thing the Giants did with this bad thing is, like, you have Shohei Ohtani becoming a free agent next year. San Francisco would be a logical stop for somebody like him, but you got to think now that he might be scratching his head over this. So, yeah, weird situations here on the West Coast, eh?
Oh, no doubt about it. Any final thought on anything else that you might want to add?
On baseball, not really. We're just waiting. I'm just sort of waiting to see how things play out. And you know, I think I'm not saying that they're wrong in trying to sign a shortstop, but it's like I think they should have gone for another position. That is the Giants, of course. They should have gone for another position, impact player, instead of a shortstop where they've had the same guy for the last 11 years starting there. I don't see it hit this stage of career. His career, and obviously it's not going to happen without any signings, that they should have shifted Crawford over to third from his natural position. And I'm sure that Crawford's kind of happy about that. That's really about it. It's very weird. I don't know what's going to happen with the Giants. It is going to be strange after this year, unless they have a successful year. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't even want to discuss the A's because there's nothing there. They no more Sean Murphy. There's nobody there. That's a done deal. So this is the state of Bay Area baseball right now. That's
wow.
My final thought. Yeah.
Okay, let's take it another way. Let's talk about the weather in the NFL today, as they'll be kicking it off in about 45 minutes. What's your thought on, it's going to be cold in about 7 of these games.
Oh, yeah, all of them. And by the way, RIP Franco Harris, he was a great rival, and they're doing the 50th anniversary thing. It's unfortunate that he had to die so soon. It was going to be his day, and it was the play. And I was hoping, I don't know if it happened, but they've been advertising the 50th anniversary. And, you know, I'm ready to watch that whole game again, relive it if need be. If there's going to be any place that's showing it again, I would die to watch it. It was a hell of a game. So, I like Pittsburgh in that. I think that it's cold for Oakland. I don't see why they can Oakland. Here I go. Such a hometown boy. I think Pittsburgh takes that. Then you got what? The lowest under I've ever seen is 32 degrees, and that is in Cleveland versus the New Orleans Saints, who are really going into – how should we say, something foreign to them. I really like the Lions taking care of business in Carolina. And, you know, I think Miami's going to take care of Green Bay, but those are not the cold spots. And I also think after watching Thursday's game, wow, Zach Wilson, really?
Yeah,
you could see, I mean, when you had, and I do like Robert Saleh a lot. I hope that, I don't think they're going to fire him, but you go into a CFL quarterback, and there's nothing there about Wilson. My thoughts on this are, at the end of the year, I think, especially because Saleh is a coach and he knows him, you see Jimmy Garoppolo heading for the Jets.
Wow, that could be interesting.
It is, because they're not going to – you're looking at – well, I personally like Mike White. I think he's a gutsy quarterback. But, boy, did he get beat up in that Buffalo game. I mean, broken ribs, whatever. I'm hoping he's not fragile. I hope he gets to play again. I like his style. But I see Garoppolo going over there. And the Niners are not – I don't think the Niners are going to try, especially if Purdy – finishes the season well, then you're going to have two young quarterbacks who are on the lower salary cap, that they're going to be competing for the job. So I see Garoppolo, I could see Garoppolo going to the Jets easily, and I could see Saleh making a push for him. What other games do we have in our snow-filled
Midwest? You're going to have Cincinnati at New England.
Yeah, and you got to look at the role that Cincinnati's on. I can't, and how shall we say, the mediocrity that New England has become. You got to go with Joe Burrow. Just, he's good. I like him. And they're on a roll. They're trying to compete with Buffalo. That'd be a matchup. But I'm looking forward to that one. But I think they're going to take care of business. Burrow looks like he's got ice in his veins. Then you have. So I think the final nail in at the one point surprising Seahawks coffin comes today in Kansas City. There's sort of a lot to talk about.
I'll tell you an interesting game here, and that's the one that's in your backyard today, Washington and San Francisco. Chase Young going to make his first start of the thing, limited duty. But I think this is a pick'em game. I really do. Even though Washington's coming across the country, I don't know about San Francisco. Now, if you had Jimmy Garoppolo there, I'd give you some kind of an edge. But without him there, the defense is going to be strong on both sides of the ball. This is going to be a low-scoring game. The question is can Heinicke perform over your backup? And that's going to be the thing. But the Skins need this more than the Niners need it. To stay ahead of the upstart Lions, the Seahawks, and, the Packers. Because, the Packers were left for dead. But if Washington wins and the Giants win this week, that can pretty much eliminate Green Bay. But I think this game in San Francisco is going to be interesting because the Skins can control their destiny if they win out.
Interesting. It's going to be an interesting game, but I'm going to stick with the Niners on this. For one, this is probably one of the better defenses that Purdy's had to face. I think that they're handling him well. He has weapons. He doesn't have to sit there and go for the bomb or make too many risky plays because you guys got guys who can get the ball on a short pass and turn it into 10, 15 yards. There's not going to be any bombs, none of that. But and the Niners, let's face it, right now that's a team that I think they like each other. They are playing cohesively. Shanahan seems to know what he's doing. I do like Ron Rivera. I wish him well. Chase Young coming back is going to make it interesting. If there's one weakness in the Niner game, it would be the offensive line. But I've got to stick with the Niners. I think 7 points is a little high. It was 7.5. I don't see them losing by that much, but I saw them beating the Giants at home. I saw them even winning against the Giants in that tie game. I don't know where this is going for them. That's my thought on this. And the Niners sort of have to keep up. I guess maybe like take a little chance in trying to get that piece of the home field. Of course, Philly's got the edge. They can clinch it if they beat Dallas today, which I don't think they're really going to – I think they're going to make an effort, but you're starting nothing but backups. They're going to be careful about their players. They don't need to win this game. If they got weaker teams than Dallas later on in the schedule, I see that Philadelphia may not even go all out, and the Niners want to keep it going just in case. So I think the Niners take this, but by a huge amount, no. And that Seattle game, they won by 8, but they should have won by more. So I'm going to go with the Niners here, but I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be as big as that spread is.
Yeah, that's a big spread. I don't know what they were looking at on that spread, but that's a hell of a spread.
Well, they're looking at
that
defense. That defense is ferocious. I mean, you've been watching it. They're like Nick Bosa is otherworldly. He defies gravity.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the other thing, and now we're getting some comments. Tyler coming in from Austin, Texas says, guys, I love your show. Maybe Scott snowed in somewhere in the Midwest on that pileup that went through Ohio, 43-car pileup in Ohio. I go, wow, I haven't heard that one, but I don't know, maybe
we'll
get word from Scott on that one. But, yeah. But he goes, he's going to the game tonight. The Cowboys will probably end up beating the Eagles because Gardner Minshew's not going to do anything. Yeah, I agree with you, Tyler, on that one. But he's basically laying some facts of four teams here that he doesn't think are going anywhere that haven't really been tested. He's listed Kansas City, Miami, San Francisco, and Dallas.
Okay. I'll go with him.
But let's break those things down. Let me put it this way to you, Tyler, and I'll give it over to you real fast, Bruce, and we're really picking up steam now. The Cowboys can't stop the run, and if you can't stop the run in the playoffs, you're going to go out real quick.
Oh, yeah. I consider they're going to make the playoffs. They're not going to do anything in the playoffs. That's where it's at with Dallas, and I'm in agreement with him. Let's see. Interesting. Kansas City's interesting. They haven't looked as good as they have in the past. I like that call by Tyler there. There seems to be something missing. Defense is one of them. You got Houston scoring on them. There seems to be.
Let's face it, Bruce. They haven't actually played anybody back to back weeks. Look at these cream puffs that they've been on the schedule for them. I mean, you look at it, Denver they beat up. Denver's not nothing. Then they get Houston. The problem with Kansas City, if you get them on the road, they're another one that can't do nothing. They'll get in the playoffs. But if you can get them on the road, that'll be the thing. Now, this is an interesting choice coming out of Allie out of Jacksonville, Florida, first-time listener, says if the Jaguars win out, they'll host a playoff game. Let me tell you something. I told you this in the start, and I said it 2 years ago on XM Sirius. The Jags will get to the Super Bowl before the Kansas City Chiefs get back there, and the Jags are hitting on all cylinders right now. The real deal is Trevor Lawrence. A lot of people, when he came out, he was the number one consensus pick. And man, oh man, that draft is looking like really shady. I think Zach Wilson was part of it. Trey Lance was part of it. Justin Fields. I will tell you this, if Kansas City has to go on the road, they'll go out real quick because I don't think they can play on the road, Kansas City.
Yeah, and welcome aboard, Allie, from Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville as an up and comer. I mean, if they get in, it's going to be kind of lucky. But yeah, they're an up and comer for sure. And the coaching change there was probably like night and day. I mean, Doug Peterson only made one mistake in Philly, and that's the one that got him fired with the Sudfeld incident. Good coach, I think. Perfect guy to have with that quarterback. Etienne, perfect, good running back. I like what I see. And they're up and coming. Do they make the playoffs? Yeah, well, in that division, I guess anybody can, huh? Because I see Tennessee going backwards. And no offense to Mike Vrabel. I hope he doesn't get fired. But the guy who got fired was the general manager, and it's just like Bill O'Brien in Houston. It's like you traded your best player. He traded AJ Brown, just like O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins, and leaves you with far less weapons through the air. Derrick Henry is a great back, and I love him, but I can't put that kind of a burden on the guy the whole time. And when you have a game plan that involves entirely running, you know, you're not going to score all the time. So I could see Jacksonville possibly making the playoffs. Sure, why not? It's an oddball scenario. It's an oddball scenario with all the teams that are still in it with bad records. And KC, there's something missing. And yeah, they played stiffs all right, but Houston took them to the wire. You know, they're not overwhelming anybody, and that's not the KC that we've been used to. They certainly are not going to get past Buffalo. So I agree with the KC one. Niners, like I said, I think they're going to go far. Whether they take out Philadelphia, I don't know. Dallas, no. And he had what was the one other team he had there, Mark?
Miami.
No, Miami's – I don't know
they're,
what
they're
whether
falling,
they –
They're falling, man.
Yeah, that's the thing is a lot of these teams that were real hot stuff all of a sudden are going backwards. So, yeah, I don't see Miami doing it. I don't at all. And especially because, you know, they're definitely going to be playing in cold weather cities if they even make the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm in agreement with him except on San Francisco. And San Francisco's defense is going to have to keep it up. Brock Purdy just make sure he doesn't make any mistakes. And I'm okay with San Francisco. The other three teams, you're right, no chance.
Well, we're getting word out of some of these listeners. Thank you very much, John, coming out of somewhere in Tennessee. He said the Titans and the Texans game has been postponed by 1 hour due to rolling blackouts. Wow. Texans and Titans.
Yeah, and there's not even inclement weather there. It's in Nashville.
Yeah,
I don't,
unbelievable.
There's no snow going on down there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Indeed. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, the only games I bothered with on this, how shall we say, on the monetary level, I did do the under on Jacksonville, so I already got that because it was like they were talking about a major rainstorm. I think Cleveland's going to take them. It's going to be one of the ugliest games we've ever seen all year. And I think Detroit's a hungry team. I see them doing their bit, taking care of business in Carolina. They're playing well. They've got a shot at the playoffs. Who would have thunk? You know, at the beginning of the year, the fact that even the Packers are in it. You know what? I'm going to substitute a team for him there that's not going to do anything. I don't think the Vikings are. Cousins in big games is not that great. And, you know, you did lose. You got blown out by Dallas. You were down 30-0 at one point in Indianapolis. You know, the grand comeback, you know, Indianapolis is in a shambles. But the Vikings to me, and it's not that they don't have weapons, Justin Jefferson, great. Dalvin Cook, great. But I just don't see Cousins taking them over the top. They're a paper tiger to me. What are your thoughts?
I think you're right. Another team that hasn't been tested across the board is the Vikings. And, I mean, the Jets almost went in there and beat them. This team hasn't really shown me. Buffalo kind of gave them the game in Buffalo. I mean, the Vikings to me are, they've just eked out wins, and you can't do that come playoff time like that. I love Kirk Cousins, but I think there's a little bit more problems other than Kirk Cousins at this stage of the game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, possibly the offensive line there. And yeah, and when you're down 30-0 and you've got to sit and or whatever big scores happen there, and you've got to make these massive comebacks, man, you're expending a lot of energy, you know, all of that stuff. I just don't see Minnesota advancing very far. I think they could lose to any of the wild card teams. And they also already lost to Detroit this year. So Minnesota no.
So give me your final four here that you think could be matched up in the Super Bowl here come February in Arizona.
Okay. Certainly Philadelphia and San Francisco. Buffalo, I mean, right now I'd say Buffalo is the favorite. I can't go with Kansas City. In fact, this is actually a tough call. This is requiring thought. Buffalo definitely, I could see that maybe the Chargers. I don't see the Chiefs. There's things to like about the Chargers, but that's even a difficult call. I'm just trying to think of who's in it and in there, and it's like no one's going to go from the NFC South. Baltimore, obviously, without Lamar Jackson, but still not enough weapons there. Good coach. I'll say that out of all of these, I would have to say, and this is a big stretch. I would say the Chargers. I'm not sold on KC. You? Can you dig up somebody? Or no? What am I saying? Cincinnati. It's Cincinnati, Buffalo, San Francisco, and Philadelphia. There you go.
Well, I'll tell you what I like. I like Philadelphia and Buffalo. That's my consensus right now. I think the Eagles are playing great football. They've been tested by the rest of the division to keep them from taking a break. And I think, you know, even with the Hurts injury with the shoulder, I think Minshew can step right in and fill a need. They like to run the ball. The Cowboys can't stop the run, so I think the Eagles clinched that. They're going to be awfully tough. They're the class of the NFC right now. As far as the second team coming out of there, if Jimmy Garoppolo was in San Francisco, I'd go with San Francisco. But I'm going to throw the Redskins out there. I'm going to be a little biased. I think the Redskins can do something. They've really, you know, hit their stride here. The key is, have they peaked too far? So I think the Skins can get in there. Now, who they would play in the AFC? I think after Buffalo, I'm going to go Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's been really turning it on ever since they struggled at the start. The Steelers went in there and beat them the first game of the year. But I think the Bengals are clicking. They got some receivers. I think Cincinnati's the second team coming out of the AFC.
I agree with that. Buffalo, Cincinnati. Now, if you're gonna, the thing also that we neglect to say about the Niners and have so far is that they probably are going to have Garoppolo back for the playoffs. So the situation there is they can roll with Brock Purdy, see how well he does, and you have Garoppolo probably available. So this that also leads me to think that the Niners can get in, but Philadelphia at home is tough, and yeah, they run the ball well. I mean, it's kind of a grand matchup in that that defense versus the Philly offense. But I'll stick with Philly and San Francisco as the two that clash for the championship.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one. Okay, let's get in a segue and another thing. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm looking there in basketball, it's, you know, my Warriors are trying to transition their youngsters into being great starters while Steph Curry is out. It has to be done that way. There's no other way, and we will see what happens. This could be like last year where all of a sudden everybody gets healthy at the right time, but you don't have the veteran presence coming off the bench like you did last year. So I cross my fingers on that. The Boston thing is like, wow, started out great, and now this, you know. I know it's early in the season. I'm not talking too much about basketball, really, these days. And I've been all about the football and the weirdness and the baseball. Orlando seems to be coming up. They look good. There's a lot to be said. I'll be honest right now, I've been paying a little less attention than I should have been to this. Any thoughts on that? Refresh me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Warriors are just banged up right about now. That's an interesting game with Memphis on Christmas, but they just don't have their, manpower in there to keep them. But I will tell you this. I think the Warriors got the second-best record at home, so thank God it's a home game. That I think they're 14-2 at home, but you know, this has been a different team at on the road, to say the least.
Yeah, without Steph. I mean, Steph is the engine, you know, and they've had Draymond out for a little bit. And yeah, you're right. On the road, they stink. They're going to be home for a bit. They just have finished a rather disastrous road trip. And, you know, hopefully they get back some of the mojo on that. Now, that's me. Of course, as usual, I'm enjoying the Laker collapse or, you know, their lack of whatever. And I'm trying to think real hard about anything that's surprising me. You know, there's a lot of teams that are just like, it's just like flat, not even fun to watch. You know, I'm dead right now. There's been less controversy, less mouthing off than normal with all of these teams and players, you know, except, there's the usual thing where, you know, you have somebody saying something on a political level, which I don't mind, but some people think that they should be the sole representative. So I'm not even going to get into that. It's just, I don't know. So right now it's just kind of a blah season for me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the NBA today, this is when it really starts. Let's face it, Christmas time is always when the NBA gets it going. Everybody starts to pay attention to it. You get into that, you know, the new year and stuff and jockeying for playoff position and stuff. But I want to talk about with one of the listeners, and this is Pete coming in from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, says, John Morant made a comment that nobody in the West can top his Memphis Grizzlies, and the only team in the East that can give him a run would be the Boston Celtics. I think that's bulletin board material, if you want to say the least, because you don't want to stand there and open your mouth out. That'll wake up some of these teams. There's more than just your team in the West, John Morant. You better look at the New Orleans Pelicans, the Warriors are the defending champs. Utah's got a good team, and the East is not just Boston. You haven't really watched Milwaukee and Cleveland yet.
Any thoughts on what
John Morant's saying?
Well, he was kind of about being mouthy last year. I mean, this is no surprise. They are a good team. No team in the West, eh? Well, I'm hoping, you know, like I said earlier, I'm hoping that, you know, you get the veterans back and that you've got the Warriors youngsters starting to progress. Right now, the one I see that is progressing and I think will be a superstar is Kuminga. They got clobbered by the Nets, but James Wiseman did score 30 points, and that I think he's more of a key than Kuminga and Moody just because he's an actual center and he's going to have to be dealing with centers. That's where it is in Warrior Land, and right now, no, he's not a match for Steven Adams, no doubt. I like John Morant, and sometimes I like the boastful guys, but they're tough. They're tough. I don't know, and I know I kind of like the boastful thing. I mean, not, you know, that's fine. That's great. The thing about John Morant is his style of play, and it's great, also leads to injuries, and I don't want to see him out. I like to see my guys beat teams at full complement, and we'll see what happens there. There we go. I'm looking at that. I thought the 76ers would be better. They're sort of mediocre. Cleveland is interesting. And what's interesting to me is that Utah's hanging in there. They got rid of all their superstars there. And they're doing this is Danny Ainge, of course. So there's a game plan. They're going to probably improve. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think the team that I'm really looking for them to do something is the LA Clippers. They're on a big five-game road trip. They dropped an egg in Philadelphia last night. But this is an interesting team. Can they win with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? That'll be the thing you want to talk about, I mean, moving forward. That's going to be the biggest surprise. As far as Cleveland, they just can't beat Toronto for some unknown reason.
Yeah, you mentioned New Orleans, and you know, they sort of slip your mind. But now that Zion Williamson is back, because that guy was being talked of in total bust terms, and he's getting out of shape while he's hurt, and all of a sudden he's back, and with C.J. McCollum, you know, that's a great team. I can see them. I could see them going somewhere. I'm looking also, we have kind of got another improving team, and we tend to forget about it because they are where they are, and that's the Sacramento Kings. You know, you're coached by Mike Brown. He's solid. He's experienced. I'm sorry he's not here. And I think that the Sacramento makes the playoffs. I'm going to go out on a limb on that one. There's so much coming up and younger teams coming up that you sort of dismiss, but it's only Christmas. But I kind of like the way that some of these teams that are starting to rebuild are coming up, and they're going to be a threat. You know, Orlando certainly, I think, is.
They're starting to play some good basketball.
Yeah, and you also wonder what's going to become of the Nets next year. They're playing well, but I don't think that Kyrie's going to be staying. Durant's in only in this. Well, he'll be going into his third year, I believe, next year of his contract. And you know, who knows what kind of controversy goes there? We'll see. It's an odd season for me this year.
I guess if you want to look at a surprise, it'd be the Bulls, man. I don't know what happened to them with all the talent they have. They're sitting out of a playoff picture right now.
Yeah, they're at the bottom of their division, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a wow to me. You know, you got Zach LaVine there. Leavitt always, you know, we got an experienced coach like him.
We're getting comments.
Yeah, go ahead.
Joe coming out of Bucks County, PA, said, yeah, John Morant doesn't think the East is something. Tell him to look at the standings. We've got four teams, possibility of five, that have 20 wins or more. Out West, he's only got two teams, including himself, that have 20 wins. Yeah, I don't know what John Morant's smoking either.
They're a good team. Put it that way. That's all I'm. That's boastfulness is nice, but they're a good team.
Right.
But I mean, making statements like that, and that's another thing. The Warriors don't make statements like that, and they win and over the years. So you know, it's fun, but it all washes out in the end. That's basically that. That's too early for me to talk about basketball, to be honest. With the upcoming baseball season, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
With all the free agent signings and all of that, I mean, it's the rich get richer sort of thing. Although San Diego has never been that until last year. Now if they get Tatis back, they should run away with that division.
Well, I think so too. I mean, they signed Seth Lugo. To go with Nick Martinez, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, and Blake Snell.
Oh, yeah.
They'll probably end up trying to get another starter in there. They have the setup, you know that. They got a great, you know, Momjun and guys, and then you get the Hader. But that offense is going to be something else, man. You've got Machado, Tatis, Soto, Cronenworth, Bogarts, it's unbelievable. Now, they've lost Josh Bell. They've lost Will Meyer. But I think the only position that they got to solidify here is catcher. Might want to get a strong catcher in there. But they're going to be tough to beat. The Padres, this is going to be the Padres division to lose. The question is, you don't want to do like the Dodgers have done, is run away with a division and then not being prepared to play in the playoffs. But I think the mindset in San Diego is very, you know, different than most. They know what it's going to entitle to win and stay consistent. So I think the Padres have moved all their chips to the center of the table. They're ready to play baseball. I think the second team you got to watch out for is the Phillies. The Phillies are starting to line up. They signed Craig Kimbrell. And we know how they sign, you know, relievers in Philadelphia. They try to, you know, reinvent themselves. Maybe Kimbrel can. I think the big surprise, like I said earlier in this conversation when we started the show, is what the hell is going on in Los Angeles? They're just not signing guys. Or maybe guys just don't want to sign in L.A. Maybe there's an underlying problem in Los Angeles.
Well,
you know?
They're free spenders, or at least they have been. And losing Cody Bellinger doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, that's somebody who fell off the face of the planet.
Well, let's look at this. Let's look at the situation here. If you play for the Dodgers, one, you're going to have to platoon. Two, you're going to have to conform the analytics. Do you really want to go through that? And then there's no guarantee you can win. When you look at the Bellingers, when you look at the Striplins, when you look at guys that were there, what did they win realistically? You won division titles. So if you have a chance to go to somebody like Bellinger said, Chicago, now you become a megastar in a city that's thriving to get back to the winning foundation. It's a different change. You're out of that hoopla type of thing. I think it's more of a win-win situation where you can get yourself on track to get a big contract after a year.
Yeah.
Trey Turner didn't want to be here. He wanted to be – he's an East Coast guy. Okay, I'll give you that. Justin Turner, they didn't sign. He went to Boston. I haven't seen a guy like Justin Turner since he had to go back to Kirk Gibson, who kept the locker room intact. So maybe people aren't interested in so much, well, it's Dodger Stadium, it's mystique and everything. Maybe they can stand there and say, hey, let me go somewhere else. I told you a long time ago, and I posted it completely up, if I was a ball player, L.A. and New York aren't even on my stratosphere. It would be San Diego, you know, Pittsburgh, Philly, Buffalo, or Pittsburgh, San Diego, Philly, Boston, or St. Louis. Those are my five cities I'm playing baseball in.
Your loyalty to Pittsburgh is great, Mark. But
even if you kept me in California, it'd be San Diego. And then if you took me back east, I like Philadelphia. I like the fan support there. I like the people. It would be Boston, and then it would be St. Louis. So you don't have me going to L.A. or New York. I don't know what your five would be. It'd be interesting.
Now
we got people throwing theirs out here.
Okay. But first off, Boston's losing players. You know, St. Louis, I'll completely agree with you on that. It's just like obviously a baseball town, great history. And by the way, smart move signing Contreras, especially after, you know, Molina retired. And you're talking about the analytics, and you're right. I can't, and San Francisco's got the same problem. They're playing the exact same thing. Again, these two guys, Zaidi and Kapler, are they're Dodgers. I'm sorry to say that. You know, like I said, I got the theory about Dodger sabotage. And, you know, we own 2012, 14, 16. They weren't doing anything. And now they're getting back at us by sending these guys in to spy and ruin the organization. Just, you know, conspiracy theories are out there these days, Mark. But, no, just joking there. But the analytics thing, I can see, and that's the problem the Giants are going to have. New York, L.A., there's a lot more pressure on it. There's a lot more money. I like St. Louis is an absolute perfect place to play baseball. And I'm trying to think in San Diego is, it's obviously now has become an attraction. It wasn't necessarily that before, but it is now, and you've got a great manager there. And I'm trying to think of any, Houston, you know, I think certain managers are an attraction too. And Baker would be one. Melvin, obviously. No, certainly nobody wants to come to Oakland or Colorado. There's a organization that's mired in location because who wants to pitch there? The ball's going out of the park. I'm trying to think of any other places. Really, you know, I mean, St. Louis to me is prime. I'd go St. Louis, San Diego, Philly, yes. Those fans can be bad too, but they know what they know their baseball. I mean, like I said in the past, they booed Mike Schmidt. You know, they can boo you and they can love you, but yeah, it's a good place to play. And there's another team that's loaded, Murderers Row. You know, I don't know. But this, nice. Let's face it, it's going to be in New York. It's all going to be pitching against Philadelphia's hitting, and these the rotating relievers all over the place. And I like if I'm going to play somewhere, I do Philly and St. Louis. That's me.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So we're down to 10 minutes left in the show. Give me the rant.
The rant. God.
Of the week. Your rant.
My rant.
What's been bothering you? Let's elaborate on it.
Okay. Well, the rant would have to be this whole Correa Giants situation, just how it was handled. And by the way, it's not like there was any question he was going to sign until the last minute. This was hyped, but they're going to get him. They're going to get him. Hey, they're going to be contenders. Blah blah blah. I still don't think that would have happened. One player doesn't do it. And another thing that's been puzzling to me about the Giants is all the players they've talked about in their farm system. In the recent past, I haven't seen. They haven't come up here. I don't like the way that they're handling things. I don't like analytics. And the pitchers they sign, well, you're going to get innings. You got Logan Webb. And the others, you know, are slightly better than 500 pitchers, but they will be eating up innings. Great closer. But is anybody overwhelming you in that lineup? Unless Crawford, Belt have a good year? No, not me. That's my rant of the week. I'm very irritated at the handling that management had going on there. What's your rant, Mark?
Well, my rant is the whole Trevor Bauer issue. When you look at the Trevor Bauer issue, he was accused by one or two ladies about, you know, really rough sex and all that stuff, you know, and we heard the reports. The Dodgers, you know, basically are trying to get out of his contract, it seems like. I don't think they're going to sign him. But then it was ruled that they reduced his suspension from 300-something games down to 194. So he's going to miss 20 games and start the season. But here's the real problem I have with the whole issue. If you assaulted a woman or assaulted women in any state across this country, you'd have a trial on your hands. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I just can't seem to understand how a guy that was accused of assaulting two women gets vilified through baseball because maybe his personality is a little, you know, over the top. Compared to a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's assaulted 70 of them and gets a $230 million guaranteed contract in Cleveland. Something's wrong with the system when you look at sports. Now, don't give me Rob Manfred, more or less, you know, runs his sport a lot different than, you know, Roger Goodell. The same situation across this country, like I've alluded to, they would throw the book at a guy like Deshaun Watson for more years than they would Trevor Bauer. But in this case, comparing baseball to football, it seems like Trevor Bauer has been more hung, if you want, than Deshaun Watson. Any thought to that?
Okay. First off, we're going to go outside of the realm. We're going to step course these are sports guys. Trevor Bauer made no payoff. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I've heard, and they decided not to prosecute. They said there wasn't enough evidence. Whereas Deshaun Watson, that was a payoff. And I'm sure that he got that contract out of Cleveland. And they said, here, take the money, Sean, pay off. We want you to quarterback no matter what kind of guy you are. I disagree with that. And Bauer was another thing. Bauer had a reputation even before he was signed by the Dodgers. They kind of knew what they were getting. They didn't know that he'd go as far as he did. But he was investigated by the legal system. And I'm not saying right or wrong, but he was not charged with anything. So I don't I'm not approving of the guy. I wouldn't want him on my team. You got to wonder what that locker room is going to be like if, again, I say if the Dodgers keep him, but technically he's been suspended without pay, and I think he's still under contract. Do you? And if you don't have
well,
the team,
here's the thing. Let me. We're running out of time here.
Yeah, go for it.
5 minutes left in the show, but you don't want him on your team. But would you want a Deshaun Watson on your team? And how come there's not an uproar in Cleveland having Deshaun Watson quarterback your team? Is the only reason you're not making an uproar in Cleveland because he hasn't assaulted anybody in Cleveland?
I'm in agreement with you. In fact, I've seen some footage of Cleveland Browns fans wearing pro Deshaun Watson shirts where I'm going, whoa, you guys are you guys are like MAGA extreme sort of. I mean, very, very weird stuff. It has to do with the fans. I think in the locker room, I don't like to say this, I can't speak for players, but I mean, I'd be uncomfortable with a guy like Bauer or Deshaun Watson in my locker room. Is it a reflection on me? Is it a reflection on me? Or do I talk to this guy off the field? Am I seen in public with him? You know what I mean? Where you have, the management's in bed with these guys. They made the move, not the players. You just got to wonder whether anybody goes over to his locker and speaks to him or what kind of culture is in a locker room like that. That's what's puzzled me. I've seen Goodell and Manfred just make so many, how shall we say, blunderous moves, period, over the time, and how they handle the general public, deal with cities, parks, and everything. Nothing surprises me out of those clowns. I mean, Silver takes charge in the NBA, like he did with Sterling, like he did with the guy in Phoenix. I can't remember his name offhand. Goodell and Rob Manfred are neither of those kind of guys, and that's what allows this to happen. So I'm going to go, the owners are, of course, are responsible for signing him, but you also have the guy who's sitting there at the top level who doesn't seem to say, you didn't say, hear anything from Manfred, You haven't heard anything from Goodell about, Watson. And I'm just thinking, me personally, it's like I expect that from them. But the locker room is what I'm sort of interested in. And of course, I'm never going to get the answers. And the players, they want to win. They're being paid to win. I guess you can win with somebody you don't like. The A's did it in the 70s, but the A's players weren't accused of crimes like this. So, that's what I think is, it's like the locker room is really where I'm wondering where everybody's head's at, because I know where the heads are of the owners, and I know where the heads out are the heads of the commissioners are at. So at least those two. So I'm not surprised by it. I don't endorse it, but I'm not surprised. So there it is. I think about the locker room.
That's an interesting thing. And as we wind it down, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know we'll be back next week. And then we got the Bum Run show coming in too.
Looking forward to that. Well, of course, Mark, as you well know, I could be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. And very interesting conversation. I like that last part. You go for it, Mark.
Yeah, you can find me all over the place, XM Sirius, WWDB AM 860 out of Philadelphia. Next Saturday, a little New Year's Eve celebration on this show as we welcome in 2023. We'll be back. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, alongside Bruce Ketchinger, same time, same channel. And then we'll go into the new year with the Bum Rush. That's going to be a good
one. Indeed it is. And,
Yep.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, my brother. For Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, California, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying have a good one. And I know him and I will be going at it later on today with the Raiders and the Steelers in the Steel City, 3 degrees. Till then, guys, catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.